We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Let's check how prices fared and the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. On this Friday morning in Chicago, July wheat opened at 6.53, up 4 on the open. September, 6.73.5, up 4 and a quarter. December, 7.19, up 4 and a quarter. March, 7.48, up 2.5 on the open. July corn opened at 6.94, up 13.5 on the open. September, 6.78, up 10. December, 6.51, up 5. March, 6.63.5, up 5.75. December of next year, 6.08, up 9 on the open. July soybeans opened at 13.19, up 1 and a quarter on the open. August, 13.17, up 1. November, 13.20, up 2 and 3 quarters. January, 13.29, up 1 and a half on the open. July soybean meal opened at 3.41.50, up 90 on the open. August, 3.42.80, up 1.30. July soybean oil opened at 55.27, up 12 on the open. August, 55.50, up 13. June live cattle opened at 111.65, down 60 on the open, and July lean hogs opened at 97.05, up 5 on the open. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
If anything that I learned this week, the lesson I learned about watching the markets and watching the outside macro factors compared to the micros, which are pretty favorable. Everybody would say the supply-demand micros for corn and beans moving into the new year are favorable. What it means to me is that if we see the issues in Greece and if we see the issues here in the United States revolving around our debt ceiling crisis, what it suggests, it seems to me, is that it really doesn't matter a whole lot if you have favorable fundamentals going for you, because nobody's going to be buying the stuff anyway. Yes?
I think in the short term, the medium term, I think you have to go with that type of mindset, Dave, because of the way the funds have been such an integral part of the rally that we've seen and such an integral part of the price push to the upside. And I think you're right. I think that if we could go back to trading supply-demand fundamentals, I think the price lows for the next 60 days would be in place after Thursday's trade, and that Thursday's lows in Dease corn and November beans and December wheat, those lows become trend-defining lows to me, and they're also going to be heading into the second half of the calendar year probably the lows that I have to watch, that if I'm worried about the trend shifting between now and harvest, those lows need to hold here. Because I think what's happened at this point is that the commodity trading funds and hedge funds have dumped a lot of their long positions. And that's typically the case when you see a violent, very sharp correction, very quick correction, and short-term technically oriented. But we haven't done anything to the medium-term or longer-term technicals, and we haven't done anything, I don't think, to the desire by the index funds to actually buy into agriculture even more going into the second half of the year. So I think you have at your hands here the good likelihood that we have a bottom in place if the micro fundamentals can stand up here and be looked at, because the spotlight is then taken off, you know, and is pushed away from the macro fundamentals. But that the Greek issue is one thing, but our debt limit issue, I think, is much more important, because I don't think we can really say for sure how much the Greek issue will hurt us in the world economy. Some say a lot, some say not much. The Bank of England guy said today, I don't think British banks are that much into the soup with the Greek issue if they would go into default. But you talk about something like the United States, then you're really talking about something big.
And as we move forward and watch Congress, I got a feel that whatever's going on in Congress as we get closer to that debt date is going to get traded. I was a little surprised that the Republicans walking away wasn't traded this morning, but I think the clock is ticking.
I think you're right, and it's not going to help that we're in a political year and such a critical year for winning more seats in Congress and trying to keep or switch a first session administration. And I think that's where, if I had to guess, and if history were to repeat itself, both sides would look at it from a standpoint that they don't want to, because their approval ratings are so low in both sides, both areas of Capitol Hill, they don't want to lose their base. And I think that's probably the most dangerous issue when it comes to the financial markets is no real movement at all going into the election because they want to protect their bases. And that's where I think the financial markets will have to react. And I think that's where it goes back to the bonds. And one of the earlier points that I was trying to make, too, and forgot was if you're looking at a longer-term break, not only are you watching longer-term technicals, but I think you got to go back to the interest rate markets and the bond yield markets. If you really want to pull big money out of the markets and have it head to the sidelines, I think you got to see interest rates go up. That historically is what happens many times when we come out of a recession and then go back into a recession, especially one that you don't have a good recovery from a standpoint of unemployment. So I think these are things that the story is not finished. The last chapter has not been written. I think Thursday's lows, though, are an important part and an important issue that we have to keep on the table throughout the next couple weeks.
Well, I'll tell you that I remember 2008 very, very well. It was one of my indoctrinations in what the markets could do. You thought that the market had found a bottom like Thursday, and it rallied for a little while, and then it just fell out.
Yeah, you lost over 20% from the end of June to the middle, later part of August. When you look at that S&P Goldman Sachs Agricultural Index, you lost another 20% in that short time frame, and I think that's where it goes back to those longer-term technicals. And I've had a lot of clients ask the right question today, and all this week, well, what about the crops in my field? Don't they matter anymore? And I think they do, but I think we also have to realize that there is demand for goods, and there's demand for risk. And that's really what we're talking about, is deleveraging by financial institutions because they see something bad coming that will hurt their balance sheets, and so they deleverage. And then you get into the margin call selling. And so the demand for risk is what we're really talking about, and that's every bit as important as the supply-demand fundamentals. And I think that's where if you've walked up to a global macro fund who trades macroeconomic fundamentals and you asked him, okay, why are you taking these prices down in agriculture when corn, beans, and wheat are attracting so much good demand and there's so much weather problems that still we don't know what supply is? And he would probably say, I think demand is probably going to fall as fast as supply because the global economy is going to slow down, and that's going to affect your merchandise trade around the world, and that's going to affect your inflation-deflation hedge, and that's going to put you more in a deflationary mindset, so commodities as a whole would go down because of less demand. And I think that adds up, and I think that's what we have to remember about 2008.
Meanwhile, I would like to see, because I don't think technically we're out of the woods yet, I'd like to see a couple of closes, strong closes above 655 Ds.
You know what's really interesting about today, Dave, is that $7.25 is where we closed last Friday in July corn, 1333 July beans, 672.5 in July wheat. We are so close to finishing steady to up on the week, and I think that's where going into the close, let's watch how the European wheat market does. It's turned negative with the United States market, so that's not a good sign. And it's turned negative also because the stocks have fallen. There's some Italian banks that have been halted in terms of trading over in Europe as the European market gets ready to close here in a couple hours. So let's watch the European wheat close. Let's also watch the price action as we get into July option expiration here today. That's going to influence our trade a lot in the short term. And then that S&P 500 has a major support in the September contract, right around that 1250 level. I think that's a number that a lot of traders are watching. So that's really where your technicals come into play as far as where we settle in corn and beans and wheat. And if we could get a higher weekly close this week, that would really cheer me up a lot.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a good day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.